glad you're here. Our main message is always from the Bible, which we believe is the way that God revealed himself to us. So we'll do the same today as we talk specifically about upgrading your vital relationships. How do you do that? What does that look like? And in particular, we're going to talk today about upgrading our relationship with our parents. Or if you're a mom today, you are allowed to look through the lens of the relationship with moms. So don't you think it should, Mother's Day is kind of a, don't you think you're getting cheated, moms? Shouldn't it be Mother's Year? Happy Mother's Year? I mean, in some ways, Mother's Day is a little bit cheap. It's a little bit lame. And you don't even get the summer month, you get the spring month, so you get rained on every year. I mean, I feel your pain. There's so much injustice in that, whoever decided that. Probably a man decided that, right? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Children, how many of you are children in here? Raise your hand if you're a child. All right, good. That's about everybody. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. That's the reason. You belong to God, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth. My mom used to say, when I was growing up in her household, she used to say, you can judge someone's character. If you want to know what they're really like, just inspect, investigate, pay close attention to how they treat their parents. When we were, all of our siblings were thinking about getting married and we had identified somebody, she would remind us regularly that if you want to know what kind of spouse they're going to be, keep track of how they treat their mom. Keep track of how they treat their dad. Here was the idea, that once you get familiar with somebody and you're no longer trying to win them over, pursue them, or otherwise put your best foot forward, you can really see what someone's character like, and it's reflected best in how they treat their parents, who they have nothing to gain by winning them over. And how many of you think there's some wisdom in that if you are trying to figure out if someone is that you want to spend the rest of your life with is how they're going to turn out? Really, what if it's more than that? What if, and we'll talk about this today, because what if it's more than that? What if the way you treat your parents or your mom may be the difference between a life of ruin or and reward? What if there's two paths that your life can go down, and depending on which path you pick, you can choose to go down the path of ruin and reward, and here's the difference, how you treat your parents. The scriptures teach us that there's more to it. There is somebody's life can very, very vividly be determined by their relationship or the way that they treat their parents. And you already know that most relationships are the cause of our greatest joys, but they're also the cause of our greatest pain. And this is also very true with our relationship with mom and dad. This past decade, about 10 years, my mom and dad at different nursing homes spent the end of their life in a nursing home. And they were cared for primarily by my sisters. Blood, sweat, tears, time, and money was invested in caring for them, and the nursing home provided supplementary care, but the primary caregiving was done by my siblings. And to this day, I kind of wrestle with whether or not, having lost both my parents recently, I wrestle with the possibility, I wrestle with the what ifs as to what if I could have done more? Should I have done more? Should I have helped more? Is there more that I could have done to help my parents? And watching your aging parents is so hard. My kids tell me they're watching their aging parents every day in the house, and I don't think it's funny because their mom's really not that old. So I don't appreciate that very much. But when you're watching your aging parents grow old, I think there's a lot of us who wish we could find ways to take better care of them without feeling so overwhelmed, without feeling unqualified, without feeling so distracted or at a loss as to how to help them. And you might be thinking over time that you wouldn't mind if you knew how to upgrade your care for them. And also, I think of the times where you consider your relationship with your parents, that there's got to be people who've spent time talking with their parents and wish there was more to the conversation. that it was less shallow and more meaningful. And I still remember to this day getting phone calls from my father. He'd call me all hours of the day, and I'd pick up the phone. He'd talk for about a minute and then say, "Well, I don't want to keep you. Dad, so far you've kept me for 59 seconds. Hello, Dad?" But perhaps some of you wish that your relationship with your parents had more depth, that the conversation had more meaning, and it had more content that would help you grow your relationship. And I imagine, too, that you may have noticed recently that our relationship, you may have noticed recently that your relationship with your parents is strained. And countless families experience parent-child stress and distress, and there's all kinds of distance and disconnect, and there is, even if you don't have conflict with your parents, just the distance alone could cause heartache for somebody when you're estranged or you're distant from your family. And then, of course, there's conflict and damage is done. And what I wanted to ask you today is this: what if some of the stress in your life, in our lives, what if some of the greatest hardships that you and I are struggling to get through, whether it's the guilt, whether it's the shame, whether it's the distractedness in our lives, what if it's directly related to our relationship with our parents? Specifically, the way that we have come to undervalue, under-honor, and under-appreciate our mom and dad. What if it's possible that some of what we're facing in our relationship with our parents, what if that distress could be helped, solved, or healed based on our contribution? Because you can't control the other person, right? You can't control how they feel, what they do, the way they treat you. But you know what we can do? We can control how we treat somebody. And by the way, if we belong to God, if you put your trust in Jesus, by your faith in God's grace, he's adopted you as his child. He becomes your father. You're no longer separated from him. You're no longer a stranger and alien to the church. You become one of the family and God your father. When you belong, there is a new responsibility to receive and bear the responsibility of helping to heal the relationship or the tensions or to bring grace to the relationship with your parents. It's not on them. It's not on someone else. When you belong to God, we take ownership to treat our parents the way that God intended us to. And there is a way that God intended us to treat our parents. Somehow, some way, years ago, my siblings and I ended up in family counseling in front of a psychotherapist. I'll spare you the details on how we got there. I could just tell you it wasn't my fault. I'm only teasing. It was mostly my fault. So we're in a semicircle, five siblings, psychotherapists, going one child to the next, and here's their question. What concerns you most? And I had a lot of time to think of an answer because I was kind of at the end of the line, so as the questions were kind of moving along, I started to think, I know what my problem is. I know what I'm concerned about. I know what distresses me about this. In particular, we were trying to figure out how we were going to handle something that was happening in our family with our mom and dad. And so I said to the psychotherapist, this is what concerns me most. I want to do the right thing by my parents. And I also believe that there's a right way and a wrong way to do things based on the way that God's created us, and I want to do the right thing. I don't want to do the wrong thing and regret it later. I would like some help discerning what step do we take next? What are our options? How can I do the right thing for them? What does God expect us to do? And the therapist said, like a good therapist should, I envision her in my mind taking her glasses off. She puts her pad aside and she says, Dan, you know what we call that? We call that the religion obstacle. And I said, an obstacle? Tell me, I'm very intrigued by this. I didn't know I had any obstacles. And she said, well, let me explain it this way. A religious obstacle is something blocking your inner peace, causing you stress, anxiety. It's the idea that you've got, obviously you've just expressed it, that there's a right way to do something and a wrong way to do something. And what's giving you stress and anxiety and fear is that you're going to do the wrong thing. So she went on to explain this. Let's work together here at $100 an hour to help you remove the religion obstacle from you. And I mean, I'm a wise guy by nature, and immediately I start to think, you know, this is such a relief. So you're saying we can take them to the homeless shelter, drop them off, and then sit back and relax and let all of our stress go away as to what we need to do. Better yet, why take the trip? If there's no wrong way to do it, just leave them out on the curb and save us the gas money. In other words, I don't believe, and I'm sure you don't believe, that trying to decide the right thing to do in the way that you treat your parents is any kind of obstacle causing you stress. In fact, the scriptures teach us that we have the opportunity to do the right thing based on the way that God's designed us to interact with our families and our parents. If you let the Bible, the scriptures, how God has revealed what he intends to happen and how he intends to bring healing to the home, if you let the scriptures teach you, you will discover, you will find everything you need to kind of develop a proper attitude to upgrade your vital relationship that you have with your parents. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is teaching the church. He said, when you belong to God, believers have a unique relationship with their parents. It's unique. It's distinct from the rest of the world. It's distinct from the time before you knew God. And to upgrade your vital relationships, you have to seriously consider what God says. And specifically, here's what God says. He doesn't say something, he commands something. God commands us, he commands you to honor your parents. It's in the Ten Commandments. Look at how it's written here in verse 2. Children, honor your father and honor your mother. Now, this isn't a suggestion. This isn't a psychotherapist saying, you might want to try this. This is the God who created us, who gave us our families, and he said, here's a command. I'm going to put it in my top 10 list. Honor your parents. Show them, express to them honor. It's also, Paul points out, the first commandment with a promise, meaning that if you do this, there will be some subsequent reward. There will be something that happens. It's an if-then, cause and effect type of commandment. There's an incentive beyond just obeying God, in that you should expect something good to happen if you do this. And here's what honor your parents. Here's why it's a command from God. Because a person who grows up with a sense of obedience and honor and respect and discipline and reverence and awe for their parents will be someone who can make any other kind of relationship work. In other words, if you can get that right with your parents, there's a really, really, really good chance that you're going to get it right with other people. And honor is a simple word. Here's what honor means. Honor means to revere, worship. That means to cherish, adore, hold in awe, or to value at a high price. That means that there's some level of, you see your parents, no matter who they are and what they've done, there is some level of step back honor and awe because of their God-given people who are in your life. How many, I mean, I can already hear you parents in here whispering amen under your breath. I hear it. I know that you're not saying it loudly, but I hear it. An attitude of honor drives how you act. Attitude is the motive behind the action. An attitude here of honor drives how you act. Now, let me run this by you. Listen to this. I don't know, perhaps like me, this would surprise you. Do you know how serious God is about honoring your parents? Is it possible that you and I have no idea how intense God feels about honoring our parents? In the book of Exodus 21:17, listen to the instructions given and to how to handle their child who dishonors their parents. Now, I would be one to say, I'd be satisfied if the child was grounded. Dishonorable child, they dishonor the parents, ground them. I'd be equally as happy and more content and probably even more familiar now with taking away their video game screens, even for a week. Or some kind of punitive punishment I'd be content with. But God doesn't do that. God goes way, way, way beyond that. Listen to this, Exodus 21:17. Anyone who dishonors father or mother must be put to death. How many of you kids are like, thank God we're in the New Testament, right? I tell you right now, that's sweet Jesus. Now, that's kind of intense, right? So, and by the way, if you know all kinds, if you're familiar with some religions who have some of this idea in their own books of authority and religion, you can see where they kind of come up with the honor killings in their culture, that it's better to kill someone than to let them continue to dishonor the family name. Certainly not justifying it, but explaining it here. And you can honor them very specifically. Here's some practical way you can honor them. In Timothy, the book of Timothy, and also Jesus in Matthew chapter 15 is describing honoring their parents. And wouldn't you know it, here's how he interprets it. Honor your parents with your money. Why does he say this? Here's what he says. He says this because wherever your money is, what's with your money? Your heart. So if you're looking for your heart, follow the money. And if you follow the money, you're going to find your heart. And Jesus is describing here that the way, if you want to genuinely, from the heart, honor your parents, offer them your financial support, offer them your resources, be available to them, to make sure that your home is available to them. So now, if you're like me, you think, so Jesus is saying here, once a month, make a date, take them to Cracker Barrel. Jesus is teaching this. Your money belongs to me. I want you to make it available to your parents. And when you do that, you honor them. By the way, if it weren't for your parents, you wouldn't have any money. Wouldn't have a dime. And what Jesus is teaching here in Matthew chapter 15 is he's teaching that we have a God-given responsibility to support our parents, to make that available to them. Now, I explained to you earlier, mentioned to you earlier, that my parents spent about 10 years in a nursing home. And I can't stop thinking as I'm learning and growing in my own faith and how to upgrade my relationship with their parents, and my parents are gone now, so all I think about is what I could have done, what I should have done. And you know what I wonder? I wonder if I should have taken more time to prayerfully consider opening my home up to my parents before deciding the nursing home was best. Now, let me say this. If you have a parent that you have helped get to a nursing home, I have no opinion on that. You know the medical situation. You know your resources. I had no opinion on that. I'm not up here telling you what you ought to do. For me, as someone who belongs to God and it's right before the Lord, I believe I'm wrestling with the reality that I could have and should have prayed more about it. My wife was like, where are we going to put him? On the roof? I'm like, honey, no, that shed is beautiful. It's 12 by 12. Are you kidding me? It's empty. Take the lawnmower out. Dad, let me show you your corner right here. Got a little cot for you. But in my heart, I know that it was too easy. It was too easy. I try not to live with regret. I know that Jesus has lifted our shame and so on, but there's a level of weightiness to the idea that, did I open my resources to my parents, even if it was just an offer? You know what I'm getting at? God has given me resources, and he's teaching us this. One of the ways to honor them is to make all that you have. And also, by the way, God has this picture in his mind that if parents are caring for their children and they bring their parents in, the grandparents are close, and just because a parent needs more medical care at the end stage of their life doesn't mean they stop parenting, caring for, and contributing to their kids. They're adult children who they help take care of while they're taking care of their kids. And I imagine that what God had in mind is that our families stay together longer. Our culture really doesn't do that. Our culture doesn't do that. By the way, I'm inclined to mention that our culture might be the only one left who doesn't really do that. I don't know that for sure because I'm not familiar with every culture, but I wonder if that's possible. So what if we seriously and prayerfully considered taking responsibility to take mom and dad in as a means of honoring them with our resources, our money, and letting parents raise the children, and when their children are grown, they take care of their parents. and we stay together. Now, there is a best way to honor our parents. Now, aren't you glad it's not the money part? Here's the best way. Here's the best way to honor them. The best way, you've got this in your notes. It's priority number two. Here's how we upgrade our relationship with our parents. It is specifically this. You honor your mother and father best by listening to them. By listening to them. If you're a child, you're still dependent on your parents. You live in their home. The word is obedience. You obey them, which means to listen under, to hear under. That means submitted to their authority. You hear them and you respond to them. That's what it means. Look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents. And this will extend. This is a sense that goes on and on and on in your adult life. And it means that for the rest of your life, there's a deep sensitivity to respond to what your parents are saying and what they think. And it doesn't mean, obviously, when you're an adult child, your parents, I think that there's some, they probably, with some wisdom, have tried to offer you counsel, and because you're no longer submitted to them or in their under their care, they kind of bristle at that. So if you're a wise parent, you've probably stepped back and said, I'll come in when I'm invited in. And here's what the scriptures are teaching us. God says that you honor your parents best by listening to them, inviting them in for counsel and consultation. Mom and Dad, what do you think about this? What's your opinion? And your ears are in tune, and you have a heart that is submitted to listen under them, to hear under their authority. And by doing so, by listening, you get under the authority of your parents by sincerely caring about what they think and what they believe. Now, this seems obvious, but this isn't how our culture, society, is training our children, right? The idea in our culture is that the parents should sever their authoritative responsibility to their kids and really cut them loose, that it does them harm to assert their authority over their kids. They need to be liberated from parental authority. Or a child must have the right to choose their own path. A child must choose their own faith and religion. We ought to affirm all of their thoughts, no matter how unrealistic or unhelpful they might be, that their perspective on faith or morality is the same and equivalent to ours as their parents. This is the penetrating message of our culture, is to sever our parental authority. Now, how many of you have discovered that if you don't establish your parental spiritual authority over your kids when they're young, it gets exponentially more difficult as they get older? And then when they try to, when you're 49 years old, it's like, I remember endless hours sitting outside my daughter's, our first child's bedroom as she finally was just old enough to climb up out of her crib, come down off of her crib and walk out the room down the hallway. And over and over and over and over again, she would see me sitting in the hallway waiting for her. And by the way, I got to tell you, every time she jumped like it was the first time, it was kind of fun. I mean, I actually kind of enjoyed it a little bit, which reminded me that she's just forgetting that it's happening. But it took a long time. One example right there, it took a long time for me to help her understand that daddy's the boss, God has given you this spiritual authority over you, and you are not in charge of this home, and you are not the authority in this relationship. It's exhausting. It's exhausting, but so vital and so critical. So God has designed our relationships in the home to stand in contrast to what happens in our culture, and the basic design is that the children are obedient to their parents. And obviously, if you're not living at home anymore, then that looks different for you. And I remember one time my daughter was being disciplined for something. And I was explaining to her, now, sweetie, this is what's going to happen. Daddy has to discipline you. And God has put us in your life to help accomplish something. And that is that God teaches us that your heart is full of foolishness, and it's the discipline of your dad and your mom that helps drive it out. And as I started to say that, she started to grind her teeth like this. She put her eyes down. She put her chin down here by her chest. And I remember her I remember her going like this. I said, what's the matter? She said, there is no foolishness in my heart. I said, you just proved my point. Fool. And she's little, and she already knows that submitting to authority is painful. But listen, when you submit to the authority of your parents and you give them ears and you consider what they have to invest in you, their input, and when you listen with honor, when you listen with honor, you demonstrate this is the way God made it. This is the way that this is going to help you live your life. And so how do I obey my parents if I'm not a kid? If I'm not dependent on them, if I'm not scraping my heart for foolishness because I'm not a child anymore, how do I do that? Here's what it is. You honor them with your respect. It is an attitude of reverence. It is, you use your words to express respect for whatever investment they've made. Imagine if you routinely put into your interaction with your parents, I want you to know something, mom or dad or whoever your caregiver was, I can see how you always did the best you could for me with what you had. I grew up in a mobile home trailer park. I lived in, my bedroom was the living room. My sister, my youngest sister, she slept in one sofa. I slept in the other. My friends used to come over and say, hey, when are we gonna go to your room to hang out? I'm like, you're in my room hanging out right now. You're actually sitting on my bed, to be honest with you. And you know what? As I've gotten older, when I look back at that time, I recognize that my mom chose not to spend her life in a career, that she made a conscious decision to allow the family to have one income. We got stuck where we were stuck, but mom did that as a conscious decision to provide a mom full-time to her kids. And to this day, I think back, and I can't stop thinking about this. Listen, here's what my mom had. My mom had a King James Bible, she had Dr. Dobson, and she had a legalistic preacher. That's who she had to help her raise her kids. And you know what I think? She did a pretty good job with what she had. Was it perfect? No, she wouldn't say that she did it perfectly. But there's something honorable and respectable to remind your parents that with what you had, you did a great job. You really did. And also to keep track of this fact that mom and dad have always done what's best. They had our best interest in mind when they did what they did. By the way, have you noticed that 2020 vision is what you get when you're looking back? Hindsight is crystal clear as to what could have been done and should have been done. And I think there's so much that we have to give to our parents when we sincerely seek and submit to their instruction, to their input, and we constantly remind them. By the way, if you want to heal or upgrade your relationship with your parents, when you're facing a challenge in your life, bring mom and dad in and tell them this. I want to know what you think I should do. Because I always know that you have in mind, you have what's best for me. That's what you want. True, right, parents? That's what we want. That's what they want. So why should I prioritize my obedience to my parents? Why should I really prioritize? One of the reasons is because God says that it's an identifying marker of those who belong to God. One of the identifiers, one of the things that makes us distinct and stand out. You belong to the Lord, it's the right thing to do, and people, it's one way to indicate who you belong to. Now, let me run this by you. How serious is disobedience in the eyes of God? Paul is writing a list in the New Testament of some ugly, wicked people. I'm talking about bad actors on the planet. These are wicked. In fact, let me give you his words for them. Listen to this. They're this kind of person. They're backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. This is how bad they are. There's not enough sinful things to do on the earth. They invent things to do that are sinful. Here's the last way he describes them. Oh, and also, they disobey their parents. Imagine that. He goes on to say in Timothy, for people will love only themselves. That's how bad they'll be. They'll love only themselves. They'll live only for their money. They will be boastful and proud. They'll scoff at God. And also, they will be disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. So listen to that list. I mean, this is in the list of the worst kinds of things to do, is to be disrespectful or disobedient to your parents. The way you treat your parents may be the difference between a life of ruin and a life of reward. So what does this mean? When we do this, if we are able to do this, if we honor our parents well, we can expect, we can anticipate, we can hope for with confidence that our life will go well. That our life goes better when we obey, submit to this command to honor our parents. Now, when you choose to, I mean, there's all kinds of traps that we fall into to dishonor our parents. But if we honor our parents well, we can expect our life to go well. And here's what I mean by that. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you'll have a long life on earth, which means you choose, because you honor them, you choose to never remind your parents of their flaws as a parent or their failings in the past. Why is that? Because it's dishonorable, disrespectful. And when we honor our parents, we can expect the relationship to heal. And by the way, there is no healing in a relationship that's constantly being reminded of the failure. I mean, do you remember at what age you discovered that your parents were human beings who failed? One day my kids will discover that about me. It was a joke, did you see that? There is something that hits us when we realize they need the same grace that we wish they would express to us. And when we do that, it helps bring healing, which means we never manipulate or use our aging parents to help us lighten our load. And with what I mean by that is we resist the selfishly demanding that their time is our time. Their life is automatically our life. We give them a sense of letting them decide what's available and what they want to give and how they want to spend that time. And God forbid, it's certainly dishonorable, and if our life goes well, it's because we choose never to use the silent treatment to withdraw affection or punish our parents with the children and so on. But again, all of these are just such specific examples of how if we decide to honor our parents, things go well. And one of the reasons why it goes well is we minimize the conflict and we elevate the healing that happens in our home and in our relationship with our parents. And what we can expect for treating our parents well is prosperity. He promised to reward you with prosperity. Your respectful attitude and your obedience fosters self-discipline, which in turn brings stability. In other words, when you learn to honor, follow, respect, submit to your parents, you also learn that those are the kinds of things that bring stability and longevity in your life. Let me say it a different way. I'll say it conversely. It's improbable that an undisciplined person will live a long life of prosperity. It's unlikely. So you learn that at home. Parents here today, I respect you, love you. It's my hope and prayer that our kids respond well to you, and that you respond well to your parents. And when we are obedient children, when we honor our parents, when our relationship in the homes are right, we'll have a full and rich lifetime here. We'll live with him in the new heaven and the new earth for eternity. And it's a mark of belonging. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today for this time. We celebrate together our relationships at home. We pray that you would indeed bring all that's needed to upgrade these relationships, bring healing and hope, restoration. If there's parents who are separated and fragmented and estranged from their kids, God, do a special work to bring them together. Hope.